Okay, we're starting here with the Mishnah on the top of Ayin Chedem and Aleph. The Mishnah is continuing thematically what we've seen until now, discussing items or objects and what comes along or doesn't come along with them. And we're going to see in particular today that the underlying motif behind all of them is Minago Shel Olam, which is that it has to do with the customary practices in each location or for each item. The Mishnah is trying to lay out general principles, but then again, whatever it is, or whatever takes place in each location, will influence how we view these items. Hamocher tachamor lo machar kelav. Someone who sells a donkey doesn't sell along with it the items that are utilized along with the chamor. Nachum Amadi omer machar kelav. Nachum Amadi disagrees and says you do get the items along with it. Rabbi Yehuda omer peamim mechurin, peamim enan mechurin. Sometimes the kelim go with it, sometimes they don't go with it. Ketzad, how does that work? Haya chamor lefanav v'kelav alav. If the chamor is standing right in front of him, all decked out, dressed up with its kelim, amar lo mechor le chamorcha ze, sell me your chamor that is standing right here, hare kelav mechurin. That would include the chamorim. He's identifying the chamor. The chamor is fully dressed, and he's saying, I want this chamor. So it seems to indicate he wants the chamor with whatever's on it right now. Chamor chahu? Is that your chamor? Ain't kelav mechurin. Then the kelim don't come along with it. Because there already he's just inquiring as to whether it's his chamor, and then he wants to buy a chamor. It doesn't sound like he's interested in a particular chamor. Sounds like he's interested generically in buying a chamor. He just wants to know if that is your chamor. Amar Ula. Ula says, machloket besak v'diskia v'kumne. That the machloket here between the Tanakamo, the Chachamim, and Nachum Amadi is whether they sold along with it. The kelim that we are discussing over here are the sak, the diskia, and the kumni. The sak is, like it sounds like, it's a sack upon which they put the items they load up the donkey with. Diskia are saddlebags that sit on either side of the animal, that go across the animal. You have a bag on each side, and then harnesses that go across. The kumni is a pallet, but we'll see later on that the Gemara interprets it to be a woman's saddle. Women ride side saddle, and not saddled over the donkey, and therefore their saddle, or their kise in a sense, they had a chair or a throne-like saddle that sat on top of the donkey so that they could ride side saddle. So these three items is where the machloket is. Tanakama savar stam chamor l'rkovkai. Tanakama believes that the major purpose of a chamor is for riding. Nachum Amadi savar stam chamor l'masui kai. Nachum Amadi says that a chamor's major purpose or primary purpose is for carrying loads and as a moving truck, in essence. We saw that, if you remember, in the Rabbeinu Gershon, when he was discussing the Pradot, he says, Derech Pradot limshoch kronot, Derech Shvarim lachrosh, Derech Hamor lemasui, Derech Sus lerechiva. So he says that usually the horse was used for riding, donkeys were used for carrying heavy loads, but it's still true today. And you go out into certain areas, you can see some of our cousins who ride the donkeys around, and they also use them for carrying loads, that they use for both of these items. And that's the machloket over here. So the items that are mentioned, that Ula mentioned, are all items that are considered to be load items. On the other hand, aval, ukaf, umardat, kilkali, vechavak, divrei hakol mechurin. Everybody agrees that those are sold with it. So in terms of the question of what the primary purpose of the animal is. So the Tanakama believes that the primary purpose is to ride on it, and therefore the items associated with riding the animal are included. Rav Nachman Madi says not only is it used for riding, it's also used for a masui. So not only would you include the parts for riding it, but also the parts for loading it. And so therefore everybody agrees that you get the ukaf, you get the saddle. Mardat would be the pack saddle, which is the saddle that allows you to put loads onto the animal. Kilkali and Chavak are seemingly almost interchangeable because the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Gershom translate them just the opposite. They say the same things, but they translate them just the opposite. They both seem to be harnesses. The Chavak is more along the lines like of a saddle belt. It's a belt that holds the saddle onto the donkey. And then the Kilkali is some other type of saddle, whether it's a chest saddle, a tail saddle, some other saddle that is wrapped around the animal or something for either the warmth or the strength of the animal to hold it tight, I mean, everything that's on there, whether it is the saddle or the pack saddle, these are harnesses that are put on it. And you can see that the Rabbeinu Gershom, in giving the Loaz that he says, he gives just the opposite of what the Rashbam gives. The Rashbam says that the Kilkali is a Tzinglish, and then the Rabbeinu Gershom says the Chavak is a Tzingla. And as you can see that, like Shorav Ukaf, the Chavishata Chamor, that's to tie on the saddle, so that's a saddle belt. And Chavak, he says, is a Potril, Tzachei Rechiveim. They are used for riding. So it's another type of saddle of sorts that's put on the animal. So the items that are for saddling and for riding the animal, those are included according to everybody. The question is, the load objects, are they included as well, which was the sack, the diskia, and the kumni? So the sack and the diskia are used to place the loads on the animal. You have a sack, which is a sack. You have the diskia, which was the saddle bag. And then you have the kumni, which we'll see in a second, is a woman's saddle. But she's classified as a masui and not as a rider. Because she rides side saddle, she's not riding it like you would lirkov to ride the animal. She's a load because she rides side saddle and then she's just put on like the similar way to a load is carried on top of the animal. Similar to the Isha Shunamit. The Isha Shunamit who goes to see Elisha when she says to her husband, she says, send one of the men with me. And then she's riding the donkey and they tell him not to stop to keep pulling the animal. There was someone else leading the animal when the woman rode the animal. She was not driving the animal. The point is that the saddle and the harnesses are not considered to be kelav. They're considered to be part and parcel of the donkey. That makes it, the donkey's useless without these items and therefore they're not considered to be kelav. Kelav would be something beyond. So meitave, is that really true? Chamor v'chelav, ani mocher lecha. I'm selling you the chamor with its kelim. Harizeh makar, what did he sell with it? Et ha'ukaf, et ha'mardat, et ha'kilkali, et ha'chavak. These are all the items that we mentioned in terms of riding the animal. Aval lo makar sak v'diskia v'komnei. We don't sell any of the other items. U'bizman shamarlo hi v'kol mashaleah. If he says the donkey and everything that's on it, harei kulan v'churin, then everything is sold. Taima damarle chamor v'chelav. He specified the chamor and its kelim. That's why these were thrown in. That's when those items were included. Had he not said, Chamor v'chelav, lo, we wouldn't have said that. My sister, Chamor v'chelav, nami ukaf mardat mechurin. Even if he didn't specify the Chamor and its accessories in its kelim, you still would have included ukaf mardat. So b'hakamashman, so then why did he say Chamor v'chelav? Da'afagav d'lame Chamor v'chelav. Even though you said chamor and its kelim, sak v'diskia v'kumenei lokani, those aren't included, despite the fact that you mentioned kelim. So whether you said it's stam, chamor, whether you said chamor v'chelav, you would only include the ukaf, the mardat, the riding utensils that go along with the donkey. The load utensils would not be included here, according to the Tanakhama. According to Nachum Amadi, those items would be included. My kumuni, what is this kumuni that we mentioned? Amar Papar Bar Shmuel, Merkavto de Neshe. It is a woman's saddle, or a throne of sorts, or a kisei, some sort of seating for the woman on the donkey. Again, we mentioned that they were riding side saddle instead of the normal split leg saddle. And for that reason, it's included in the accessories that are for load and not the accessories for riding. Because in essence, she was being taken or carried by the donkey. She was not riding the donkey. And similar over here, you see the same phenomenon that we've mentioned many times, that the Mishnah is writing in Mishnaic Hebrew. And here in Bavel, they're trying to translate words or translate items that they don't know. Whether it comes up in a Braita, whether it comes up in a Mishnah, they're trying to translate the words that they are seeing. Ibalu, Bodan alav, machloket. While these items or accessories are on the animal, there is a machloket. Aval b'she'enam alav, when it's not on him, modeluhu Nachum Amadi, maybe Nachum Amadi admits or agrees to the Rabbanan, Odilma b'shein alav machloket. Or maybe the machloket is when the items or accessories are not on the donkey, aval odan alav modelu the Rabbanan the Nachum. And then when they're on him, that the Rabbanan would agree to Nachum. So let's take each part separately. If you say that odan alav machloket, that the machloket is when they are on the donkey itself, that means that because they're on the donkey, therefore they're included in the sale, according to Nachum Amadi, even though these are for Masui and these are for Rekiva. The Chachamim say, look, the Ikar purpose, the primary purpose of the donkey is to ride, even if you have load objects on it, the load objects are not included because those are separate. That's a separate utility that's not included in the sale, even if they're saddled on, even if they're on the donkey. The other hand, Nachman says that these things are all on the donkey. Therefore, you get what's on the donkey, including the load accessories. The interesting part is that the Rishbam over here suggests that in that case, that Nachum would agree then, if it wasn't on the donkey, you wouldn't include it. That not only would you not include the Masui items, you would not even include the Rechiva items, even the riding items. Rishbam says, "Vafilu ukaf umardad nami ein mechuri mimein malav." That here, this is a clear qualification of the Mishnah that only what is on the donkey will be sold. That's the given. If it's not on the donkey, it's definitely not included, according to this view. Now, tell me what on the donkey is included. Once you have what is on the donkey, is it only the riding accessories? Or is it also the load accessories that go? But if it's off the donkey, nothing goes with that sale. The Baalei HaTosafot disagree, and you can see here the Baalei HaTosafot say that I don't think like the Rashbam. The riding accessories are included, irrespective of whether they're on the donkey or not. Yeah, standard equipment, it's something you need. You can't utilize the donkey without something to ride the donkey. You don't buy a donkey bareback. You gotta buy it with the saddle. Those accessories are definitely included. Those are standard options. Versus the Masoi stuff, which is the argument about when they are on or not on it. Then there's a question. If they're on it, is it included? That's not what Madi and the Tanakhama. If they're not on it, everybody agrees they're not included. So there will be a difference between them. According to Rashbam, he sees it as being all one and the same now. And if it's not on it, nothing goes with the donkey. The Tosafot says that there's at least something has to go with the donkey, and that standard equipment is there, irrespective of whether it's on the donkey or not. In the reverse, if their machloket is b'she'enam alav, if it's when it's not on the donkey, then certainly when it's on the donkey, everybody agrees that whatever's on the donkey goes with the donkey. Tashma, ubizman she'amar lo hu v'kol ma she'alav, if he says it and everything that's on it, harei kulan mechurin, everything goes with it. If you say that while it's on the donkey, that's where the machloket is. Hamani, who's the author of this position that we just brought? Rabbanani. That's the sheet of the Rabbanan. Because the Rabbanan say, you only get the riding accessories, but you do not get the load accessories. Then if you say, you get everything. What's everything? Now you add it on, the riding accessories. If you say that only when the items are not on the donkey is there a machloket, when they are on the donkey, everything is sold, then Hamani, who's the author of this position? When it's on the donkey, everything's sold. Now he says, what did you add? Everybody says everything on the donkey goes with it. It's a case where the machloket is when they are not on it. And this is the Rabbanan, the Ema. B'zman she'amar lo hu v'chol ma she'ra'ui li'ot olav. Not that he said that it and what is on it, but it and what should be on it. Meaning that you said before, the standard equipment that should be on the donkey. And therefore there you would include the load accessories, even though they are not necessarily sold in the normal case. But here, when you said it and everything that normally would go with the donkey or you would use with the donkey, then it would include not only the riding accessories, but even the load accessories. So they amend the Braita, so it's no longer a proof to either direction as to what the machloket in our Mishnah revolves around. Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, pe'amim mechurim, pe'amim she'ena mechurim. My love, what is Rabbi Yehuda coming to do in our Mishnah? Amai de'gamar Tanakama koi. He seems to be qualifying the statement of the Tanakama. The Tanakama says that when you sell it, lo macharet kelav. You do not sell the kelim with it. Along comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, wait a minute. Sometimes you do sell it. Sometimes you don't sell it. Let me tell you, the circumstances, the context will tell you whether the kelim are sold. But if that's the case, then if Rabbi Yehuda is qualifying the Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda is clearly talking about a case where the kelim are on the donkey. Because otherwise it's not relevant. If he says, I'm taking this donkey, and he says, well, this donkey comes with everything on it, Rabbi Yehuda is clearly talking about a case where the accessories are on the donkey right now. So if he's qualifying the Tanakama, that would seem to indicate that the Mishnah is talking about a case, Be'odanalav, when the objects are on the donkey itself. Gemara says, "May the Kamar Tanakama koi Rabbi Yehuda?" It says, "Lo, Rabbi Yehuda, milta achrite ka'amar." He's saying a completely independent item. The way that the Rishbam says it, the Mishnah now, you could say, is me'ena nalav. The Mishnah is a case where it's not on the donkey. The accessories are not on the donkey. But if everything was on the donkey, divrei hakol, you would have gone on it. Then Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, wait a minute. I want to point out that there is a distinction that should be made here. On this diuk that you're making of odan alav, that's not always true. Depends on how he formulates the way that he wants to buy the donkey. While it's on the donkey, there is a difference. So what you say, kuliyama, everybody agrees the accessories on the donkey go with it. Let me qualify that. Let me clarify that. So he's speaking independently. Other Rishonim read it simply that doesn't matter which way you go. Rabbi Yehuda is saying something independent. He's not talking about whether the accessories are on or off the donkey. He's talking about the language that you use makes a difference independent of whether it's on or off the donkey. Now, that's the way that our Gersa reads. If you look in the Balei Tosafot, he says, Yesh Sfarim Shekatub Ben. There are other Sfarim that have this. My love, Rabbi Yehuda, Taima de Nachum Kamefarish. Rabbi Yehuda is coming to qualify the position of Nachum Amadi. You look in the Rabbeinu Gershom, in the last line of the Rabbeinu Gershom, he has exactly that Gersa. He has my love, Rabbi Yehuda, Taima de Nachum Mefarish. He's explaining the position of Nachum Amadi in the Mishnah. Nachum Amadi in the Mishnah says that the Kelim go with the donkey. And now the Gemara is saying, my love, that Rabbi Yehuda is coming to tell you that's not always true. When is Nachum Amadi's position true? That's when he says it in this formula. If he formulates it this way, then Nachum Amadi's position is not true. So whether that means that he's qualifying him, or that means that he's mifarish, that's the way the Balei Tosafot would write it, he's coming to explain the position of Nachum Amadi. So it could be one of those two. He could either be qualifying him or explain the position of Nachum Amadi. In the end, it makes no difference because the Gemara rejects it and says you could read it the other way. But in the first case, Rabbi Yehuda is coming to be a machria, which is that we have an opinion that says Kelim don't go from the Tanakama. Nachum Amadi says Kelim do go. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and is basically a machria and says, I'll tell you when they do go, I tell you when they don't go. You're right sometimes, you're right some other times. That would be the way our Gemara reads. The way that the Balei Tosafot have the Gersa and the Rabbeinu Gershom have the Gersa, he's not a machria, he's a mifarish. He's explaining the position of Nachum Amadi, he's not addressing the Tanakama's position whatsoever. In the end, the Gemara says lo, and he could fit the other way anyway. That reviewed the statements independent of the other two positions in the Mishnah, but just know that the Havamina of the Gemara is different depending on which Gersa you had in your Gemara. So now we continue. Amalei Ravina the Ravashi Tashma. Let's bring the proof from here. Macharet HaKaron. Here we get to Chazara and all the Mishnayot that we just saw. You saw the Karon, you saw the wagon, lo Macharet HaPradot. The mules don't go along with it, or we saw the Rambam's interpretation, the hitches don't go with it. Betani Rav Tachlifa bar Marova Kamed Rabbi Abou, Macharet HaKaron, Macharet HaPradot. We saw this yesterday right after the Mishnah. We bought a Braita that Rav Tachlifa bar Marova was saying before Rabbi Abou, that if you sell the wagon, then the mules do go with it, or the hitches do go with it. Bamalei Banan Lo Macharet Nan. Doesn't our Mishnah say just the opposite? Bamalei Ismei. So Rav Tachlifa bar Marova said to Rabbi Abou, should we erase this Braita? I mean, get rid of this Braita, that's incorrect. No, Titarge Matniteich Badukimbo. Explain your Braita in a case where they're hitched together. So that means the equivalent of Odan Alav, which is the case where they're hitched up together. In the case where they're hitched together, the mules do go with the wagon. In the case where they're detached, they don't go with the wagon. Michlau, de Matnitan Bisha'ena Dukimbo. That means our Mishnah, the Mishnah of Karon, was speaking about a case where they were not hitched together. That's why when you sold the wagon, you didn't get the mules. Since the ratio is a case where they are not wearing them, so too the Seifa, our case here in the Mishnah, should be a case where there's Enam Odan Alav, when they're not on it, when the accessories are not on the donkey. Adarabo, wait a minute, Emeresha. Hey, you just mentioned one Mishnah here. There was a Mishnah before that. The Mishnah of the Sfina. When you sell the Sfina, Avalo Machar, Lo Et Avadim, what's not included in the boat is the workers that are on the boat, whether it means the sailors, they go with it, or the abadim, the ones who run the oars, who run everything on the boat. Below antiki, and not the antiki, the amrinan, my antiki. Again, we needed to translate, what is this antiki that's mentioned? Amrapapa iska bidagava. It's talking about the merchandise that is on the boat. Now, the Rashbam over here, it's interesting that he spends time on over here. He says that the difference between an iska and antiki might be exactly this. that the Idba, Iska, that is on the boat is called an Antiki, but a Iska, merchandise that's outside the boat, is not called Antiki. That's one possibility, he says. The other possibility is that Antiki and Iska and merchandise are synonymous. It just happens to be that it's clear here that you don't get the merchandise that's off the boat. If you sell a boat, you're certainly not getting the merchandise that's sitting on the port or somewhere else. It has nothing to do with the boat. The only merchandise you could be getting is the merchandise that is Begava, that is on the boat. So that's why he's saying Iska de Begava. Is Antiki, is that the definition of the word Antiki? Is the merchandise on the boat? Or is the Gabava just a product of the context, which is, of course, we're talking about merchandise, but of course it's on the boat here, because otherwise it wouldn't be relevant to the sale of the boat. But what do you see is, mean the Reisha, but on Alav. In the case of the Reisha, the merchandise that you're speaking about is merchandise on the boat. If it's on the boat, that means Bodan Alav. Say Fanami Bodan Alav. That means that our Mishnah here should be a case of Odan Alav, where the donkey is saddled with the accessories for loading and for riding. Ella, Tana, Mili Mili, Tony. It says each case is independent. You gotta look at each case independently. You can't extrapolate from the different Mishnayot. Each Mishnah in the series deals with contextually what's relevant to the Mishnah. When you're talking about a boat, then only things that are on the boat are relevant. When you're talking about a karon and a wagon, the things that are hitched up to it, even though they might be necessary, you could separate between the items. The question now becomes with the donkey, which one is the donkey more like? Is the donkey more like the boat, because it's carrying loads and so on and so forth, and therefore it's not included? Or maybe you're talking about a case of more like the wagon, that the accessories to the chamor, to the donkey, are separate from the donkey. Which one is it more like? And you would have to, you can't prove anything from the previous Mishnayot, you gotta look at it independent of the other Mishnayot. Yes, yeah. Lo machar, lo et abadim, lo et amartzufim, lo et antike. The sacks to hold the merchandise didn't go with the boat either. So that's very similar to what you're asking for. Yeah. So that's the same case, but they're just proving that we're talking that items are on, because there he says specifically Iska Begava. That's why I think they wanted to bring that. But the case in that Mishnah was not only that by the boat did you not include the merchandise, you didn't include the sacks to hold the merchandise as well, which would be similar to the saddle pads and the other items that were mentioned here by the donkey. So I think the cases can all be compared. I think the Gemara's answer is that it's all contextual and it's all Mili Mini Katani. Here's where the Rashbam writes, Shako Olei Chachar Minago Shalolam. These Mishnayot have nothing to do with some objective standard. They have to do with the practices and what people expect when they buy things. Just like when you buy a car, there's certain standard options and there's certain non-standard options. That's all governed by the local moors. It's not something that's defined or automatic. I mean, obviously you assume there's going to be an engine inside of a car. But there are other items, whether it's air conditioning, whether it's automatic transmission, those things that some places are taken for granted that are standard options, and other places are not necessarily standard options. Amar Abaye. So Abaye now makes a statement that joins together a series of opinions that we've seen throughout this perek, and says that they all are basically of the similar nature, a similar vein, which is Amar Abaye. Laza, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Natan, Sumchos, V'nachum Amadei, Kulo, Sfirlo, they all hold. When people sell things, that when you sell it, you sell not only the item, but everything that goes along with the item. So now, first of all, kulus viruluhu, they all hold this. Over here, the Rashbam points out that there's a difference between different languages that the Gemara can use. The Baya Tosafot also noted in a more backhanded way, which is it's clear here that when we read all the opinions that we bring here, they don't all hold the same thing. They're not all of the same opinion. They have a similar genre of opinion, but they're not absolutely the same opinion. We cannot equate their opinions. It might be that one would disagree with the other. They wouldn't all necessarily agree with each other. So that's number one. Number two is that the Rashbam points out that there are two different languages that the Gemara can use. The Gemara can use a kulan b'shita achad. They're all of one shita, or kulu sevirle. And the difference between them is exactly what we just noted over here. When they say kulu svir lehu, that means that they all have a similar genre of opinion. When you say kulan b'shita achad, that means that they all really subscribe to the same position, or they have a common position between them. And so therefore, specifically over here, kulu svir lehu is the opinion, or the way the Gemara formulates, to say that it's not exactly the same, but of a similar nature, a similar genre. That's number one. The second thing is that the Geonim have a Mesora with regards to Kulhu Svirluhu, that anytime the Gemara uses Kulhu Svirluhu, The halacha is like none of these opinions. All right, so that's what the Rashbam brings in other places. I think we saw it earlier in the Masechta, where he brings it that whenever you have a kulus virlo, the Gemara is lining up a bunch of opinions and basically dismissing those opinions by doing this, by saying they're all of a similar genre, and then it says those are outside the bounds, meaning that the halacha is not like them. That's the Mesorah of the Gaonim with regards to these items. Rabbi Elazar, that's none. What's Rabbi Elazar? We had the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar, Omer, Mokher, Beit Abad. Someone who sells an olive press, Machar Takorah. He definitely sells the beam, the big beam for the olive press that goes along with it. He says, what's an olive press without the pressing beam or the big korah that goes with it? And therefore, when you sell the olive press, you also sell the korah. Shimon Gamliel, it's not Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Amokher Te'ir, Machar Te'Senter. When you sell the city, you also sell the center, which we saw earlier, the Machloket in the Gemara, whether the center was either the person in charge of tracking the ownership of the land, the person in charge of collecting the taxes or knowing how much taxes were owed to the government. Or we saw the other possibility is that the center was a piece of land or a tract of land that went with the city. Right? That was the machloket over there, whether center meant a person or center was karka or an object. But he says that the center comes along with the city. Rabbi Meir, the Tanya, Rabbi Meir, Macharta Kerem, Macharta Shmishea Kerem. When you sell a vineyard, you sell the items that used to work the vineyard, which we saw with the staves and the trellises to put up the vines. Rabbi Natan v'sumchus, we just saw in the Breita, which were the beitzit and the dugit, which were the small boats, the fishing boats and the small boats. And when you sell the large boat, the beitzit and the dugit come along with it, which are the boats that allow you to get to the shoreline, or today what we call them lifeboats on the side of the boat. Nachum Amadi, Hadamra, Nachum Amadi is the one who's found in our Mishnah. The common denominator between them, in the end, is that they all think that you get more than what the Rabbanan or the Tanakhama think. So the Tanakhama or the Rabbanan give a position, and then each of these Tanaim adds on something and says, no, no, you get more than you thought, or more than the Tanakhama indicated. So that is the common denominator between them, which is what the Rashbam says, that v'yibachada shita ochim shemotsifim mechirat tashmishim tfei midrabbanan didhu. They add on more accessories or more items to the items sold than the Rabbanan or the standard opinion in the Mishnah. So that's the common denominator between them. Doesn't mean they would agree. Doesn't mean that one would say that the other one's right in their Mishnah, because they don't have a common denominator in terms of their fundamental or underlying Shita. They just have a common denominator that they're all in this position of adding items on. But the reason they may add it on in one case may not be similar to the other case, because much of this has to do, again, with Minago Shel Olam, which is what do they think goes with these items. Now, obviously, they all believe that whatever these accessories or these additional items are that they sell together with the item are something that belongs to it or something that is connected to it. And that's their common denominator. They think more things or more items are connected to the primary object that gets sold. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, so here's Rabbi Yehuda's position. Pe'amim Shemichurim. Now we're going to explicate on Rabbi Yehuda's position. Ma'ishna Chamor Chazo. What's the difference in the language that was used in the Mishnah? I somewhat explained it in the Mishnah, but here the Gemara will clarify what's the difference between chamor chazo, this chamor, versus chamor chahu. Is it your chamor? It's Amar Rova. Rova explains it. Chamor chazo, yada de chamra didehu. He knows that that chamor belongs to this individual. So then why is he saying zo? Mishum kelav. He's saying this particular donkey. He knows this is your donkey. And then, if he says, sell me your chamor, that would have been enough. Why does he say chamor chazo? He's putting in extraneous language, which is completely unnecessary over here. That extraneous language means, I want this donkey, the way it's dressed right now, with its accessories, with all the saddles or load items on it. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda is pointing out. He knows the donkey already, he knows it's your donkey, and he wants to buy it. If he just said that, he could say, let me buy your donkey. Instead, he says, I want to buy this particular donkey, which was unnecessary, because he already knew it was his donkey, and that was the one he was buying. So Zo adds on the Kelim. So that's it. Zo Mishum Kelav Kamerle. Chamor Chahu. When he says, is that your Chamor? Delo Yadad Chamor Didehu. He doesn't know that the Chamor belongs to this particular individual, and he's asking the question. Chamor Chahu? Is that your Chamor? Vachi Kamerle. Chamor Chahu? Shittim Kerenali. Is that your Chamor so that I can buy it? So over there, he's not particular necessarily about the chamor. He wants to know, I'm trying to buy a chamor. And he says, is this your chamor? I'm looking for a chamor to buy. Is that your chamor so I can buy it from you? So in that case, he's not speaking to the specificity of this chamor, speaking to the ownership of the chamor. Gee, you own it so that you can't sell it to me. In that case, he's really just identifying the donkey. He's not using extraneous language that would indicate to you, I want this donkey fully dressed, or I want this donkey in particular. He's just saying, I buy a donkey, and now when I indicate or I point out the donkey, that's the one that I'm looking to buy, and therefore are you the owner that I can buy it from you. But without the extraneous language, there's no reason to believe that he's asking for the donkey and the accessories. Okay, a mocher et hachamor, someone who sells a donkey, mochar et hasiach. He sells along with it the siach. The word siach usually means a foal. It's actually used for a sus, for a horse. A horse's baby or young horse is called a foal, and it's called the siach. It's actually true that the chamor is called an ayar, or an ayir. That is the terminology that's usually used. It seems here that either the Mishnah and the developed language changed it so that a foal was used both for a donkey and for a sus, for a horse, and that the word ayar or ayir was a Tanaic Hebrew that was not adopted, and the Mishnah is different than the Tanakh, and therefore it has no meaning that it says siach over here. Or you could argue, because you're going to see the Gemara is going to play this, why is it a siach? Maybe the Gemara is asking that question. Why did the Mishnah use the word siach? And then it will try to define it. Mecharet apara, he sold the cow, lo mecharet bina. You don't sell the calf that goes along with the mother cow. Mechar ashpa, you sell a garbage dump. Mechar zavla, then you sell along with it the garbage that is in it. Now, over here, when we're talking about the garbage, we're talking about more like composting. We're talking about the zevel, the dung. So this is an area where you stack the dung in order to have it dry out and then to become fertilizer. So if you sell them the location, that is this specific manure pile, then you include the manure with the area that is used to store or to pile up the manure. Machar bor, you sell the cistern, machar memea, then you get the water that's in the cistern when you buy the cistern. Machar kaveret, if you sell a honeycomb, machar devorim, you get the bees along with the honeycomb. Machar shovach, machar yonim, you sell the dovecot, you get the doves along with the dovecot. So if you sell, the way that the Rashbam says it, the item that is kavua, the object which is the fixed item, then the movable items or the items that utilize it come along with it. But in reverse, if you sell the water of the cistern, you're not selling the cistern. You're selling the rights to take the water out of the cistern, but the cistern remains is. If you sell the doves, doesn't mean you're selling the dove coat. So in the reverse, it will not be true. The reason that it's written in this way is because these are the fixed parts of the utilization here, and those fixed parts come with the objects that utilize it. And so that's why in each of these cases you get the animals that are utilizing whatever you are selling, or you get the water along with the boar. Hey, Chidami, what's the case in the Mishnah? The problem is, so why is it by the donkey that the foal is included, and by the cow the calf is not included? If he says, I'm buying her and the child, then the cow and the calf, Nami, that should have been included. If he didn't specify the mother and the baby, then why is the foal included along with the donkey? Amra papa, damale, chamor menika, upara menika. He says, I want a nursing donkey, or I want a nursing cow. Ani mocher lecha. That's what I'm selling to you. Bishlama para, if you sell someone a nursing cow, there can be 2 points or 2 purposes to the utilization. You can want a nursing cow because you have a calf, or the calf needs to feed from it. Or you can have a nursing cow because you want the milk. You want to use it for the milk. So therefore, ikalameikar lechalva boila. You can say he needs it for milking. And when I sold you a nursing cow, that's exactly what I sold you, a nursing cow with nothing else with it. Elechamor, my gamarle. What is he saying to him when he says to him, I want to buy, or I'm selling you a nursing donkey? Shmamina, hi ubina kamarle. The only thing you can mean is I'm selling the mother along with the child, because the milk itself is not kasher. The milk's not kasher, the milk's useless to you. So the only reason you would buy a nursing donkey is because you assume that the foal is coming along with it. So again, the extraneous language is what gives us indication that you're selling the foal along with the donkey. By the cow, the extraneous language could be interpreted otherwise, which is that it could be for the milk, human consumption of the milk, not for a calf's consumption of the milk, and for that reason, it's not included. I mean, but the example you could bring is, for instance, if you bought a nursing shifcha, so they're also a wet nurse. You could argue there that you're not buying it because you want the shivcha along with the baby. You're buying the shivcha to be a wet nurse because she's used to feed other babies. So again there, you can make the same claim as the cow with the shivcha. So you have to look at each case. When you say nursing, is there an alternate purpose to having this animal be nursing independent of it nursing its own child? If it's nursing its own child and that's the only thing it's good for, then it's clear that you meant to take the child along with the nursing mother. If there's another purpose, then you could separate between the two utilities, and that means that you could sell it independently. Why do they call it a foal? So over here, again, the word siach is used for other animals as well, so that's why it's interesting that the Gemara asks it, and that's why some point out that why did the Mishnah use the word siach if there's an alternate word for describing a baby donkey? You could just say that the Gemara is asking in general, what's the word siach mean? Shemaleich achar sichana, that it goes after a nice voice, that when the donkeys are young, they're more compliant, and therefore they will follow the instructions of the owner. You simply just call them nicely, or you ask them to do something nicely, then they do exactly that. As they get older, they're less compliant, and then you need to use something more effective than just calling them. Because once they get older, they need a mardeya. You need a goat, or you need a prodder to move it along. That's not going to happen with the older donkeys. And so that's what it means, a siach. A siach is something more compliant, has a better disposition than the older animals. And that's what it means, siach na. So now the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel ben Achman, Amar Yochanan, my dichtiv. So now all of a sudden you have a segue into a small piece of agadata. Now this agadata is interesting only because, as the Rashbam points out right away, it's not the simple interpretation of the psukim. It's clearly taken out of context. And there's no reason to believe that the psukim meant this in terms of the pashtuta psukim. The Rashbam himself, who is a big pashtan and wrote his perush on the Torah of the pshat of the psukim, he says over here, this is definitely not pshat of the psukim, but rather the psukim were unnecessary. There is information here which has halachic ramifications, and that information could have been conveyed in a much more concise manner. So what the Gemara is darshan, according to the Rashbam, is the excess of these psukim that were unnecessary to be explicated upon in the Chumash. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it, and some of the other Rishonim, like the Rashba, the Maral over here also mentions it in the Kedushei Agadot, that this is clearly out of context. This is not the interpretation of the psukim. It's a nice way to interpret the psukim, and either the psukim are there to help you remember it, or there's some far-fetched thematic connection here between the reality of the psukim and the mussar that's about to be given. But again, it's detached. This drusha, it's a nice drusha, but you don't need the psukim to make the drusha. You could have made this drusha, you could have said all of these items, even without the psukim. So there is some sort of artificial connection between the agadah that we're going to see and the psukim, and that's either to help you remember it, or because there is some large thematic connection between the pashtut of psukim and the agadah. But there's not a direct correlation between them, and therefore we're not looking at this as an interpretation or the real interpretation of the psukim. Now, the psukim that we are speaking about are the psukim that are describing in Bamidbar after Bnei Yisrael go ahead and defeat Sichon Melech Hamori. In defeating Sichon Melech Hamori, they actually gained something that they wouldn't have otherwise gained. And that is the fact that they are not allowed to do battle or to wage war with Ammon and Moab. So Ammon and Moab are off limits to Bnei Israel. Sichon Melech Hamori was allowed to be attacked and conquered by Bnei Israel. And therefore, when nobody else lets them go through, Sichon is the chosen path that they take and the way that they go through because they can conquer him. Plus, it is the better path or the more direct path into Eretz Israel, but they do fight against Sichon. What the benefit was is that before Bnei Israel came there, Sichon actually waged war battle with Moab. And in waging war, battle with Moab, he was successful at conquering a part of Moab. Once he did that, he was, quote-unquote, mitaher, those areas for Bnei Israel to conquer. Had they remained under the jurisdiction of Moab, Bnei Israel wouldn't have had to touch them. Now that Sichon had conquered those areas, Bnei Israel were allowed to take them, because now they were conquering them from Sichon, not from Moab. So now, we learn a number of things, normative things from this. One of the halachot that comes up in other areas of Shas is that conquest is a kinyan. That's one thing you learn from here, because Sichon's conquest of the areas of Moab changed their status vis-a-vis Bnei Israel. If conquest was considered thievery and not an acquisition or claim to the property, then you wouldn't have gotten the properties from Sichon. You'd have to give them back to Moab. They'd be off limits. The other normative halacha is that this idea that you can be meter, that you can clear these areas up. The last thing that comes out of these psukim is a sidebar, which is referenced by the Mefarshim and other places, which is Bilam. Bilam, whose parsha comes up in the subsequent parsha, Balak, where does he get his fame from, or why is he getting hired? So the answer is that he was involved in this battle between Sichon and Moab, and that he helped the side of Sichon to conquer Moab, or at least they thought his curses or whatever he did was to their benefit. And that's why the elders of Moab and Midian come to request his services when it comes to fighting Bnei Yisrael. So that all comes out of these psukim, which is, I'm just going to read you quickly, the psukim, that they conquered these areas. And then it says, Ki cheshbon ir Sichon melech ha-Amori, that is the capital city of Sichoni, v'hu nilcham be-melech Moab ha-Rishon. He fought with the first king of Moab, v'yikach et kol artzo miyado ad Arnon. He took those areas that belonged to Moab, and that's why Bnei Yisrael were able to conquer them. Al ken yomru ha-Moshlim. So now, these are what those sayers of parables say. Bo cheshbon, tibane betikonein ir Sichon. They came to Cheshbon, and they established, and they created the ir Sichon, the palatial estates, and the capital of Sichon. Ki esh yatsa mi Cheshbon, lehava mi kiryat Sichon. A fire and a flame went out from the areas of Sichon. Achla ar Moav, balei mabot Arnon. And it had consumed the areas of Moab, the high places of the Arnon. Oylecha Moab, woe is to you Moab, avata am kemosh, that you lost out. Kemosh is the god of Ammon and Moab. It's used interchangeably in the Navi, mentioned as the god of Ammon. Over here it's mentioned as the god of Moab. Natan banav pleitim, ubnotav bishvit, the melech emori Sichon. Their children were put into captivity to the melech Sichon. Viniram avad cheshbon adivon. And then he established sovereignty over these areas. Vinashim ad nofach, asher ad medva. So these are the areas that Sichon took over. And then, v'yeshiv Yisrael v'eretz Amori. Bnei Yisrael come in and take over those areas of the Eretz Amori. So that's what the Gemara is about. The Darshan are those psukim of the Moshlim. So again, you would need a very small piece of that, the Rashbam says, to tell you that Sichon conquered the areas of Moab. You need a very small piece of it. What's the rest before? That's why he says there's an Agadato. Again, we spoke about the other Rishonim's view. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonatan, Mai Dichtiv, what is meant in the Psukim? Al ken yomru ha-Moshlim. Ha-Moshlim, Elo ha-Moshlim bi-Yitzram. Moshlim over here doesn't mean Moshlim in the sense of parables. Moshlim here means in the sense of conquerors and those that are ascendant, those that rule over their evil inclinations, their inclinations. Moshe b'yetzer, as the Mishnah in Avot says, Moshe b'ruchom milo chedir, who's a great person or a strong person, the one who is rules over his temperament and his disposition, that's a person that's stronger than someone who captures a city. So you see a Moshe, a ruler of the Yetzer, is considered to be someone who is a Moshe. Bo cheshbon, come to cheshbon, the Gemara interprets, bo menachshov cheshbono shel olam. Let us make an accounting that is the proper accounting. Hefseg mitzvah keneged schara. You have to account for the loss of a mitzvah vis-a-vis its reward, and vice versa. Schara vira keneged hefseda. The reward of an avira versus the loss. Meaning that if you're going to do a mitzvah and you're going to have to expend money, lose money to do the mitzvah, you have to consider that loss of the material loss that you're going to encounter or incur in order to do the mitzvah. But weighing against that is the rewards that you will reap for doing the mitzvah. So you need to weigh those to make the decision. And vice versa with the Aveira. If you're going to do an Aveira, the pleasure that you're going to get from the Aveira, you have to weigh that against the long-term ramifications of doing the Aveira, the negatives that are associated with it. If one does that, tibane v'tikonein, imata sekein, if you do this cheshbon, if you do this accounting, tibane b'olam hazeh v'tikonein l'olam haba, you'll be well suited, well founded in this world, and you'll have yourself set up to the world to come. Because if you make this cheshbon, if you do this type of accounting, it will guide you down the proper path in life. Ir Sichon, im meisim adam atzmo ki ayar zeh, shemalei chachar sichana. Here you go. Here's the usage of the terminology. If you make yourself like the young foal, like the young donkey that follows after sichana, that follows after a nice voice, here's the connection to the Gemara over here, that the word siach is now interpreted as being sichana'a, and we're talking about a foal. But you see here that the Gemara used the term ayar to describe the foal, not siach. And that might have precipitated the drasha. Makti vacharav. What happens to someone who makes himself like this ayar that follows after just the voices and goes everywhere and follows his inclinations? Keish yatzah mecheshbon. Teitzeish memachshevin betochalet she'enem mechashevin. Their fire will emanate from those that do the accounting to those that don't do the accounting. So the way that it's reading here, following after the sicha na'a, is a negative term, which is that these individuals who just follow their inclinations and any nice voice that calls them, they follow them, instead of doing the accounting that we mentioned up above, they will be swallowed by fire. The ones who do the accounting will cause the others to be lost. The Rashbam quotes the Gemara we just saw before, that every person in Olam Haba has his own chuppah. And the one whose chuppah is higher than the other one will be singed by the other one. That's what it means here, the fire, that the differences in the Olam Haba will be obvious and burning because of the fact that these differences will become apparent. That's what it means, the ones who do the accounting will burn the ones who don't do the accounting. The other way that the Gemara expresses it is the Gemara in Chagiga that says that the Olam Haba, everybody has a chelik in Gan Eden, and everyone has a chelik in Geinom. The tzaddikim take their chelik in Gan Eden, as well as the Rosh's chelik in Gan Eden, and the Rosh takes his chelik in Geinom, as well as the tzaddik's chelik in Geinom. So there's a trade-off, and that's what it means here, that they will be burnt. The ones who do the mechashvin, the tzaddikim, will give up the fire, and the non-mechashvin will be the ones who bear the brunt of that fire. They will inherit that part of the Geinom for those individuals. Ve'lava mikiryat Sichon, and a flame will come out of the cities of Sichon. Mikiryat tzaddikim shenikru sichim. That will come out of the cities or the places of the tzaddikim that are called sichim. Sichim are trees. Right? When Hagar throws Ishmael, it says tachat achata sichim, under one of the trees. And the Rashbam over here gives you a whole slew of proofs to the fact that the word siach or sichim refers to trees. And then he proves also that tzaddikim were compared to trees. The primary proof he brings is tzaddik katamar yifrach keres bavanon yisgeh. So there you see that the tzaddikim are compared to trees. So he says that's what it means over here. The havam mikiryat sichon, that the flame will emerge from the kiryah of the tzaddikim. Achla ar moav. Achla ar moav is zemalech achar yitzro. Kayar zesh melech achar sichana. That is like this. A person that follows after the nice voices, similar to the drusha we saw before. That's why I mentioned before that there is an alternate drusha. In one case that looks at it as a positive. That individuals who follow the right way without having to be prodded, they do what they're supposed to do without being prodded. That's another way to see this, and that might be an alternate interpretation. Obviously, our Gemara does not read that way. And the Rabbeinu Gershom adds in the fact that Moav means Kmoav Hashalet Aleben. It's like the father that rules over the child, or like the Yetzer that rules over this individual, just like this Ayar just follows the nice force or follows its parent. The parent here representing the Yetzer, a person who is governed by their Yetzer, that is what it's speaking about here, Achla Ar Moav. The one who goes after his Yetzer, Kayar Zesh, Melech Achar Sichana. Balei Bamot Arnon. So then, the high places of Arnon, Elu Gasei Aruach. These are people who are haughty. Dam Armar, Kol Adam Sheish Bo Gasut Aruach, Nofel B'Geinom. Anybody who is haughty ends up in Geinom. Veniram, and the sovereignty, Amar Rasha, Ein Ram. Niram is, the Rasha says, Ein Ram. There is nobody sovereign. There is nobody high above. That's Balei Bamot Arnon. There's nobody up there. Avad Cheshbon. Avad Cheshbono Shalulam. He's lost track of the fact that there is someone keeping track, which means that he doesn't believe there's a God. Din Velet Dayan. There's going to be no din. There's going to be no judge. Nobody's tracking anything. Adivon. Margarish Baruchu. Himtein Achiyavid Din. Wait till I take care of them. There is a day of reckoning that will come. V'nashim ad nofach. They laid waste to these places until nofach. Ad shdevo esh she'en atzricha nifuach. It will come a fire that does not require bellowing. It's a fire that burns or consumes of its own. That is the fire of Gehinom. Ad meidva. Ad shetidaev nishmatan. Until their nishamot melt away. or are wasted away. Vamila, adavid madaboy. Or until HaKadosh Baruch Hu does what he needs to do. What does it mean he needs to do? He needs the Rasha to waste away all of his good deeds, and therefore he's rewarded. So Hashem needs him to finish off in this world so that he can take care of him in the world to come. Amrav Yehuda Amrav, kol ha-poresh min divrei Torah, ish ochalto. Anybody who walks away or leaves divrei Torah is consumed by a fire. Shneamar, v'natati et panai bahem, meha'ish yatzau, v'ha'ish tochleim. So I will put my panai, I will put my face, but over here means my, also my free time. Meaning I will pay attention to these individuals. Me'ish yatzau. They walked away from the fire. Va'ish toklaim. And the ish will consume them. Ish, Torah is nimshala la'ish. Because as the pasuk that the Rashbam brings over here, pasuk in Yirmiyahu that compares Torah to ish. Alo, kod vari, keish, no mashem, ukpati shifotzet sela. The Gemara quotes in other places to say that there are multiple interpretations to different passages in the Torah, or mimino eish dat lamo in Zot HaBracha, so the Torah is compared to eish. So you walked away from the eish, eish toklaim, you'll be consumed by the fire. Kiata Rav Dimi, I'm Rav Yonatan. When Rav Dimi came and said the name of Rav Yonatan, kol poresh atzmo mi divrei Torah, no fel b'geinom. Anybody who walks away from divrei Torah falls into geinom, shnemar, Adam toem derech haskel, the person who leaves the way of seichel, the way of Torah, which is the seichel, wisdom, bekal rifaim yanuach. He will rest upon the rifaim. Over here refers to the dead, right? Those that need refuah, or those that need help, and those that are dead. Vein rifaim ele geinom, and rifaim here refers to geinom, where the dead are found. Shenemar, velo yada ki rifaim sham, so that the individuals are kirifaim, the dead are found b'imke sheol, in the depths of sheol ruach. So you see that the way that the Gemara's darshan over here is that the rifaim and the sheol over here are used in a synonymous fashion, and therefore the person who leaves Torah, the derech haskel, the way of wisdom, or the way of just way, that individual will end up in the kahal amongst the congregation of Rifaim. Who are the congregation of Rifaim? Those are the dead that end up in Mekei Sheol, that end up in the depths down below. So here it's a smaller gadot, as we said before. Doesn't seem to be connected to the words in there at all, but the connection to our Gemara obviously is the Sicha Na'ah, is the Siach Na'ah that was used in the Gemara to explain why it's called the Siach. That's also used in the interpretation of the Agadot. And as I said before, this is a Musar Haskel that has nothing to do with the Psukim. You don't need the Psukim to tell you this Musar Haskel, but they do attach it to the Psukim in order either to give it some sort of a memory aid or to say that this is the same thing, Cheshbono Shel Olam, that Kodesh Baruch Hu was Michashev over there, that Sichon conquered Moab so Bnei Yisrael could conquer Sichon. So God's running the show and making sure these things happen. So to over here, the overarching theme is that God's running the show. You better get your accounting in order. You better make the right choices in life. All right, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Ayin Tetum and Aleph.